The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I, for my part, say to you, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you declare bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you declare loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me, for you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. Evangelica nostra delicta. In this year of faith, we know that we're supposed to improve with God's grace in several ways by which the Lord wants us to grow in faith. As we talked about in Pope Francis's new encyclical, Lumen Fidei, one of the ways that we're called to grow in faith is to grow in our hearing. And it's not a hearing of the ears. It's fundamentally a hearing of the heart, because God wants to dialogue with the heart, the real core of who we are, and not just change what we know, but change who we are. Last week, when I was preaching a retreat for sisters in New Jersey, I focused a little bit on the fact that as we begin to hear the Holy Gospel, what do? We ask the Lord to be in our minds, and we make the sign of the cross over our mind so that we might receive His light there. Then on our lips, so that we might proclaim what we're about to hear. But then, you would think, wouldn't we? If we were prepared to hear the Word of God, we would make a sign over our ears, like a priest made at our baptism, the Ephphatha, to open our ears, to hear God's Word in our lips, to proclaim His praise, to His faith, to the praise and glory of God the Father. But we don't bless our ears. We bless our hearts, precisely so that we might hear with the heart. That's where we're supposed to hear. The Word of God's supposed to change us inwardly. Today we see a hearing with the heart, but we also see two examples of the deafness of the heart, which is the exact opposite of faith. So God had told all His promises to the Israelites, yet they still didn't believe Him. They didn't believe that God was going to give them the Holy Land. So there they were, continuing their incessant complaining. I've always thought that Moses should be the patron saint of all pastors who constantly have to deal with ceaseless murmuring. "Would that we too had perished with our kinsmen in the Lord's presence. Why have you brought us into the desert where we and our livestock are dying? There are no figs or vines or pomegranates here. It's a wretched place. There's not even water. So God gives him yet another miracle. He has Moses strike a rock and have it give forth water. Something absolutely impossible. That if God can do that, he can do anything. You don't squeeze a rock like a sponge. It has no water in it. But yet, that's exactly what God did for the Israelites. But he held Moses and Aaron accountable because they weren't effectively helping the people to listen to God in their hearts. They were hearing in the ears, but it wasn't changing them. They needed something deeper. So we get to the responsorial psalm today. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts to it. Again, we would say, if today you hear the Lord's voice, don't put your hands over your ears. That would be more logical. But again, it's always the hearing of the heart. The reality is that the Lord always speaks to us. He speaks to us every day. So each day, our heart is supposed to be wide open and attuned to the voice of the Lord. The beginning of today's gospel reading, you see Peter's heart opened to hear what God the Father had been saying. He'd been carrying that within. The Father had been whispering it to him, that the one who had called him from his boats was not merely a great prophet arisen in our midst. He was somebody who went beyond the great heroes of the Old Testament and the bridge between the Old and the New, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But it wasn't just that Peter recognized that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah and was willing to say it. He went beyond it. Something that would never have been human guesswork. You are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And that's why Jesus was blown away by the sensitivity of the listening of Peter's heart. I, for my part, say, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, human learning or human deduction hasn't led you to this conclusion. But my Father in heaven, to be able to attune ourselves to the voice of God the Father, so that we can have a core ad core loquitur relationship with him, heart speaking to heart, is the goal of this year of faith. But that's something that we have to recognize, that the Lord's always speaking. It's not a one-time-for-all type of thing. So immediately after this, Jesus announces the type of Messiah he's going to be. He's going to go to Jerusalem, where he's going to be manhandled by the leaders of the people, be murdered, and on the third day be raised. And Peter had blocked his heart to this. God forbid it, Lord. No such thing shall ever happen to you. That's when Jesus called him Satan and told him to get behind him, because Peter was trying to lead the Lord. We always need to let the Lord lead us. We always need to have our hearts open to hear his voice and to obey what we hear. Not just obey on an outward, at an outward level, but to obey with love, which is why we need to hear with our heart. The Lord was going to make Peter a rock, not of stone, to what the Lord would be asking, but a heart that would burst forth Christ's living water for all of us to drink as we wander through the desert of earthly life, seeking the eternal promised land. So it comes to the way we hear. The Lord's always speaking, but are we really listening with the heart in a way it's going to change us? Today in the gospel, Jesus makes Peter and his successors the rock on whom he would build his church. Do we relate to the popes in that fashion? Do we let Christ lead us through them? Or do we want to lead the popes? A lot of people want to lead the popes and get them to change teaching or change emphasis or do all the rest. Are we willing really to be led? And do we follow? Do we pay attention, etc.? Tomorrow, Jesus is going to continue this gospel. It's all one scene in which he's going to tell us that if any of us wish to be his disciple, we must, not it's a good idea to, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross each day and follow him. Are our ears, the ears of our hearts, attuned to that message such that we see the cross not as a burden from which we should escape, but as a bridge that's meant to take us all the way to the promised land? That's what it is, but we have to listen differently. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans. He was one who always attuned the ears of his heart to the voice of the Lord. At the age of 14, he was sent to an uncle who was a priest so that his uncle could give him an education. He was incredibly pious and incredibly prayerful. He eventually became a priest and accompanied, more or less as a bishop secretary, the Bishop of Osma, Spain, on a papal mission. And while they were cutting through France, they met these Albigensians. He stayed at an inn in which there were Albigensian innkeepers. The Albigensians thought that there was good and evil, and that good was spiritual stuff, all matter, like the body, was evil. And he listened to these people all night, and he started to preach to them about the real truth. And in the morning, these innkeepers were converted. But he saw that there were hundreds of thousands of these innkeepers in the mountainous southwest regions of France. So after he had finished that mission with the Bishop of Osma, he asked the Pope for a charge to be able to preach the true faith to the Albigensians. And when he was preaching, he made a motto for the order of preachers he would found. It was contemplari et contemplata aliis tradere, to contemplate, to pray, and to pass on to others the fruits of your contemplation. He founded the Dominican nuns, the cloistered nuns, even before he had founded the preaching friars, because he knew how important that prayer was in order to hear the word of God in the heart, to contemplate, so that then you could pass on to others not just words, not just truths, not just the gospel as a set of teachings, but to pass that gospel on, as St. Paul would say, along with our very selves, that the gospel had changed them in their heart. They had been transmuted, in a sense, into the gospel. But they had also, in a sense, changed the message of the gospel in the way that they would proclaim it, because it wasn't just going to be with words, but it was going to be with their own witness of what the power of these words do on the inside. We've all got that mission. All of us are called to be sent out to proclaim the word. But the only way it's ever going to be effective is if we've received it and let it change us in our heart. A couple weeks ago down in Brazil, Pope Francis used an incredible image with the bishops about why so many people in South America had been abandoning the Catholic faith. He could say the same thing about Fall River, where so many have abandoned the faith. And he wanted to show them the path home. And what he said was, we've got to see the whole church in the image of the Emmaus scene. We have those two disciples wandering away from Jerusalem because they were so crushed. They had put all their hopes in Jesus, and Jesus ended up murdered. And everything had changed for them, and they were walking away dejected. He said, so many people have placed their hopes in God and the church, and they seem to have not had those hopes fulfilled, and they've turned their backs on Jerusalem and all it represents, and are walking away from the faith. But what's the new evangelization? We learn it from Jesus. Jesus shows up and meets them on that journey, apparently walking away from God, and just starts to explain how everything that happened to Jesus was foreordained. He started to explain how all the truths fit together, including those difficult truths that they had just witnessed. And at the very end, it said their hearts were on fire. Their hearts were burning as he spoke to them along the way. It was after their hearts were on fire that they could finally recognize Jesus when he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them when he celebrated Mass in their own home. What did Pope Francis say? We need to be able to meet all those people, including the members of our family, those who live on our streets, those in our neighborhoods, ex-parishioners, who are wandering away from the new and eternal Jerusalem. But we need to meet them in such a way that as we accompany them, not turning them and dragging them to church, but accompanying them wherever they're walking, talking about the Lord Jesus, we are able to light their hearts on fire so that they're able to have their eyes opened by those fiery hearts. Is your heart on fire? Have you heard these words and been ignited such that when you talk to anybody, people are going to sense this fire deep within, even when you're talking about current events, as Jesus in the Emmaus scene did with those two disciples? That's what's supposed to happen. Today, we have heard the voice of the Lord. Let us not close our hearts as hearts of stone to it, but open our hearts fully to this grace, just as St. Dominic and so many Dominican saints have. And then with these hearts aflame, go out to reignite the hearts of the world. This is the gospel of the Lord.